The following episode is brought to you by Rorschach. Enjoy his videos, observations, and rants at hearustalk.com/who is he.
Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is hearustalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Hello to all my fans. Thanks for sending me your letters. I really enjoy reading them while setting your fucking houses on fire. Keep your fucking opinions to yourself. I know I'm awesome. Enjoy the DJ New Style Show, you fucking dickheads.
Oh, snap! Yes. Welcome, welcome one and all to your Tuesday Night Miracle. That's right. This is the DJ New Style Show, exclusively on Hear Us Talk. That's hearustalk.com, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be. You may think that there are other places you want to be, and that may be true. However, this website is where you want to be. We're attracting everybody tonight. We've got everybody with their ears glued to their speakers, headphones, and whatever else they hear us out of. Or whenever else, because we record this and people download it for whatever reason. Probably because it's fucking amazing. Let's just level with everybody here. What I do every week is I create art that I burn into your brain. And it stays with you. You'll hear things like the word shit and instantly think of me. And that's why I do this. Thank you for tuning in. I really, really appreciate it. We've got a lot of activity on the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/thedjnewstyleshow. If you want to call in, the number is 201-87... Oh, whoa! That's not the number. That's the old number. 316... 316-768-4472. Holy shit. 316-768-4472. We almost had a goddamn disaster. We almost had a goddamn disaster happen there. Giving out the wrong number? Are you fucking serious? Do you know what you're doing? Probably not. As is apparent by this bullshit that I'm doing tonight. And it's gonna be bullshit. It's gonna be pure goddamn shit. Because today isn't a good day. It isn't. I'd love to come on this fucking show once and just say, hey, you know what? Everything clicked into place. Everything went my fucking way. Everything came up, Kenny. Everything came up goddamn roses from the time I woke up until the second I put these headphones on and started speaking into this highly stained fucking windscreen. By the way, the windscreen I'm using for my mic literally has years of fucking saliva stains. I'm just looking at it right now in the camera on heroestalk.com/live, where we always broadcast every Tuesday night from 9 to 11. It's disgusting and it's awful, and I think I should really just fucking throw it out. But I'd love everything to just go right. For once, it would be great. Probably not in the cards for me. Maybe I wouldn't be doing a show. I'd have nothing to say. I'd probably just do the Rammstein intro, thank Rorschach for doing his thing, and just say, hey, you know what? Everything went well today. Everything went my way. For the next 2 hours, just think of the people you love and the things you love to do. Well, no. It started off today with my morning coffee. Now, why do I have to say this all the time? Why can't I just get a fucking cup of coffee that serves the purpose? It shouldn't be that fucking difficult. I'm paying for the goddamn fucking thing. I go to Quick Check because, honestly, everybody's fucking failed me at this point. I may as well just fucking throw a coin at somebody's fucking face and based on their reaction to it, decide whether it's Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts, Quick Check, or some random place that uses a cup made out of fucking styrofoam. I gotta tell you, I'm getting a little freaked out with the styrofoam cups. I'm getting a little freaked out with paper cups in general and cups with coatings on them. I'm not trying to say that I'm getting worried about, like, chemical warfare being waged on people, but I'm like, I'm just really thinking that this shit can't be good. We can't, it can't be healthy for your brain to be basically drinking melted plastic every morning? Why is it that if I take the same coffee, put it in a fucking metal or ceramic container, it tastes completely different than it does out of a goddamn styrofoam cup? What the fuck is that? I'm drinking melted shit. I'm drinking melted fucking plastic chemicals that are going to shut down. They're just going to cake up somewhere in there and eventually just shut something down. So I'm really losing my fucking focus. And I may become one of those dudes that goes in with the fucking thermos and just refills my own thing. I never thought that that would be the case. I never thought that there'd be a reason for it. But the coffee tastes fucking different out of that. And I'm not, and it's not like I'm some kind of purist or a coffee snob. Like I don't have a preference as to how they roast it. I don't scoff at Starbucks. Don't call it coffee. It's over roasted. No, I don't care. As long as it caffeinates me and keeps me on my fucking drugs, that's all I want. So I'm not going at this at some kind of a real fucking connoisseur's rant. I just don't, I really think that this plastic shit, like little, trying to heat up Chinese food in the microwave, you throw the little container in the microwave, what are you doing? You're cooking fucking plastic into your food. You pour hot coffee in a plastic cup, you're drinking the fucking plastic. I've seen people drink hot coffee from fucking Starbucks with the stirrers. The little fucking plastic straws. They jam a goddamn plastic straw in there and drink it from that. You can't tell me they're not getting some kind of tumor in 10 years. It's fucked up. So I go to Quick Check anyway and drink out of a cup that I with a coating that I know is going to cause me some kind of fucking curious lump in one of my glands. I'll wake up and just feel my neck a little bit, a little raised. Well, you know, I've had that before. And then 2 weeks later, it's hard. And then I'll just be going to a doctor. And then at that point, it'll be common knowledge that you shouldn't be drinking these things. And they'll say, well, you know, you probably had like 20, 30 years of, you know, chemicals just burned into your fucking brain and your glands. And that's why you're going to die. So I'm there now. I'm at the point where now I'm fucking, I think I'm on a fast track to being scared of chemicals. Am I fucked up for doing this? I don't know. I'm not really worried about it, obviously, because I'm doing it, but maybe I'm just kind of like a little alarmed at it. Whenever I see a styrofoam cup with hot shit in it, I just really think that this non-biodegradable shit is being heated and just leached into my beverage. But that's not what bothered me. It wasn't the type of cup. Again, Quick Check. Again, you motherfuckers ran out of the goddamn fucking dome lids. Now how am I gonna drive with a fucking cup of your hot Kris Kringle blend coffee? How can you even have a fucking rant where you have to say the words Kris Kringle blend? I'm trying to have some delicious Kris Kringle coffee, you fucks. And they didn't have the dome lids today. And they had a sign up explaining it. I mean, I even looked. Like, I didn't even read whatever. Like, I didn't notice the sign until after I discovered that they were all gone. And I let out a noise. I know I did. I didn't want to. I'm like, ugh! Again! I think I said. Pretty loud. So maybe it's not just a noise. Maybe it was a subconscious. Okay, listen, I saw it and I got a little miffed. Okay? I wanted to act as though it was some kind of involuntary disgust, but I was legitimately miffed that they didn't have the fucking dome lids that I prefer. And we can go back and forth on this debate all the live long fucking day. But the fact is, I prefer a dome lid. And don't have extra slots for the dome lids if they're just some kind of fucking minority favorite one-off. So I let out this noise, this fucking grunt. And another guy comes over looking for the dome lid. You know what he says? I don't know, I'm supposed to drive with this cup. And I knew it. I'm not alone. A lot of people like a goddamn dome lid. These people that have the fucking little pull tab lids, they're the type that wait until they get to wherever they have to go, peel open their little fucking lid, and drink from their dumb fucking retarded little shit lid. Their shit lid. They love it. Because they're not drinking coffee while they drive. Well, I drink coffee while I fucking drive, and I need a dome lid. So I let out the noise, and like the double doors in the back of the fucking quick check that leads into like the forbidden employee-only area, someone storms out of there as soon as we start complaining. And I point to this. I'm reading the sign they wrote. They had a sign with some degree of permanence that said, "Sorry, no dome lids." Again, this woman comes, storms out. She's like, "I got the lids! I have the lids!" She's fucking like she's saving our lives. "Here, take one! Take one! They just came off the truck." I'm like, "What fucking truck? What fucking truck? Don't bullshit me like there's a goddamn 18-wheeler with fucking dome lids that got there just in time. Like some inoculation that's going to save our fucking lives and cure an epidemic in a village. It's not... You got a little lazy. And you didn't put it out. And I would love it if they just fucking admit that. So I took my lid and I was a little bit okay. I enjoyed the coffee, the Kris Kringle blend. The different blends that they come out with. Starbucks too. I mean, at least Quick Check's coffee, when you get a different fucking blend, you can tell that it's different. I've never had a fucking blend of Starbucks coffee that didn't just taste like fucking, oh, well, that's obviously Starbucks. And people say, well, it's strong. It's real strong. But you know what? It is fucking burnt. It is fucking burnt. And I don't mind. I said it before. So, you know, it's not my day. It's just, it's not. This show's going to be a fucking downer, everybody. Just because of the coffee alone. Just because of the fucking coffee alone. And I'm driving, and I'm a little bit angry, but I'm paying attention to the road 100%. I'm driving very, very well. And what happened? Someone pulls out in front of me. Someone pulls out right in front of me. In a goddamn PT Cruiser with the option of the fucking wood paneling. Now, I know that you maybe in 2002 you loved the PT Cruiser. You thought it was clever. Harkened back to your youth or whatever the fuck it was. And I guess you wanted the wood paneling. I don't know. It just seems like the poorest of decisions to me. Second only to pulling out in front of somebody on a fucking road where there's no goddamn fucking traffic, causing me to slam on my fucking brakes. Obviously, the person didn't even see me. Just went right out. And as I slam on my brakes, they're now beside me. And I'm just stunned. I'm just fucking stunned. And I look at this person, and they fucking start yelling at me. This old fucking B. Arthur looking bitch starts yelling at me through her fucking window. I'm stunned. And she fucking flips me off. She flips me the fuck off, puts her middle finger up, and speeds away. So I get to work. And I want to share my misery a little bit. And the fact is, I am pretty miserable on a regular basis. But I go and I try to talk to the co-host of the show on Gmail, and I discover that that Shawnee Murphy is no longer interested in doing a live broadcast of this show. No longer interested in doing a broadcast of this show. And live, he would be into pre-recording it, but the fact is, as I take a sip of this Sobe Life water, They're not a fucking sponsor, but it sometimes it just sounds nice to let you know what I'm fucking drinking when you hear me. He's not going to be doing the show, and I understand it. He's a different type of person. He's the type that would be all about something and totally dedicated, and then all of a sudden, one week, wake up, boom, not into it. And maybe that explains why he was able to quit smoking so frequently. Jesus Christ, Teddy, what the fuck? Man, I can't even go a fucking minute with... There's gotta be shit somewhere in here. There's no way there isn't shit in this fucking room somewhere. Holy sh... Wow, this dog... This dog has farted... And it's got fucking, it's got sustain on the smell. And I'm really thinking that there's got to be shit somewhere in here. I don't know how you can go 2 years without the dog farting. And then all of a sudden, nothing but fucking poison gas comes out of this goddamn dog. Every, like, maybe half hour, I'll smell shit. And I have that reflex now where I have to drop everything I'm doing, stop working, stop fucking bullshitting on the computer, and now just frantically overturn fucking couches and look for shit. Because it smells like there's shit in the fucking room. I don't understand. I don't know. I don't fucking get it. How the fuck? I mean, okay, he does get people food occasionally. He does. I mean, we gave him... Fucking what, 7 Cheerios tonight? Is that really a source of dog gas? I don't fucking know. I really don't even know. But Shawnee Murphy's not going to be doing the show. That's what kind of what I was trying to get into here. He has quit smoking, and instead of smoking, he's decided that what he wants to do to fulfill that need, that kind of that urge, is. He wants to go and play World of Warcraft. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever heard of this game. It's a game where you get to pretend to be something, and you pretend to kill things, and you basically get a goddamn job. That's basically it. You can say it's a game, but it's a fucking obligation. And I understand it. I think there's a... Oh, no, I'm actually... looking at a chat room that is now all the way scrolled to the top, and I'm reading fucking shit that was typed minutes ago. But yeah, he is playing World of Warcraft, and I understand his addiction to it. Because it's not even about the fucking game anymore, because you can ask anybody who's played it. They'll get to the very, very top level that they can get to, and you would think, well, I can accomplish no more in this game. I may as well put it aside. But they don't. They keep playing because essentially it's a fucking chat room with a very, very CPU-intensive interface. That's all it is. They forge friendships on these things. They become chat buddies with some of the people they fucking slay imaginary monsters with. So even though that they finish the game, there's no real end to the game because the game is just essentially another form of social networking. Another fucking form of it. And that's anything. Like, it's easy to become addicted to a Pal Talk room or an ICU2 room. Far more easy to become addicted to ICU2 in a great way. But all these things... go back to the fact that there are other people there, and you're consistently dealing with them. Why do you go and check Facebook every day? Is it so you can fucking work on your goddamn unicorn and stroke the fur of your fucking your sim dog or whatever the fuck it is? No! You want to check up on your fucking friends and see them post pictures of their kids and see their kids do things, and you want to kind of keep tabs on them. So you do that, and it's a good thing. Well, essentially, World of Warcraft is the same fucking thing with just a nerdier stigma. And a far more addictive nature to it because it's disguised as a game. And it's and in between the interactions, there's things that you just feel you have to do because you can. So you'll be interacting with somebody and then they'll make you do some other fucking horse shit. I don't know. I tried playing it. I took a challenge from Best in Show Chris. I told him that I would play for a week, a free trial, and not become addicted. And I'm not addicted. I have no interest in playing the fucking game. I can get addicted to chat. I can get addicted to fucking Facebook and all that other shit. But for some reason, I just can't get into fucking just building a character and chomping away at fucking rabbits. And I don't get gleeful when I see coins drop. Oh, coins! Gold fucking pieces! I don't even know. I don't know the currency in the fucking game. I don't know. But to me, it's just, it's not my fucking thing. But I get why people are fucking into it. They forge these friendships. They have their fucking World of Warcraft friends. They don't admit that they're friends with them. Because it's not cool to do that yet. World of Warcraft and video game buddies and shit like that is kind of like, well, like chat room friends 10 years ago. Eventually, when everybody admits that they're fucking doing it, it'll be completely acceptable to say, hey, yeah, me and my fucking PSN fucking friends are having a meetup. I don't know. To me, I get why he's doing it. But I don't buy that he lost interest in doing the show. I would rather say that he's more hooked on WoW than the show. And I totally get it. Because there are people that ruin fucking... Like, they'll just give everything to play that fucking game. I'm not saying that he's the type to do that. But the game has the capacity of doing that to somebody. Somebody with a job, somebody with things that they, you know, that they depend on, they'll just completely throw it aside so they can keep doing the same thing over and over again. And hopefully, oh, I hope I get that shield. I hope the wand of fucking amazement falls out of the ass of this fucking zebra that I just fucking stabbed. Like, I don't get it. I don't get it, but on the same hand, I kind of do. If you've ever been addicted to a video game, I would love to hear about your fucking addiction. If you're listening to the show and you feel like calling in and maybe sharing, the number is 316-768-4472. And if you're listening to it downloaded, feel free to contact me on djnewstyleshow.com. I'll tell you right now, there have been times when I've played a given video game for hours, completely hooked, to the point where you get the morning glare, which is what I've heard it called, where you look around and there's fucking birds chirping, and the sun is coming up, and people are waking up and starting their day, and you haven't even ended the previous one. You're still playing some dumb fucking game. For whatever fucking reason, completely hooked, red-eyed, and greasy-faced. With that fucking thumb, that controller thumb you get. Just a miserable, miserable affliction. 316-768-4472. If you want to call the show, we have a caller right hey. Now. What's up, buddy? What's going on? Who's this?
What's going on, man? How you doing? It's Mike.
Mike from Queens? How you doing, buddy? Now, yep. you are a video gamer.
Yeah, I'm pretty much addicted to all of them.
Yeah, everyone?
I mean, you know, not individually, but I'm addicted to gaming, I guess, yeah, I am.
Okay, well, I mean, what are you addicted to right now? What has your focus?
I'm actually playing a few different games right now. I'm playing The Force Unleashed 2, I'm playing Demon's Souls, I'm playing Rock Band 3, and Gran Turismo 5.
Now, are all these games, do they have endings?
I don't think Gran Turismo does. The rest of them do. Yeah. I mean, Rock Band has an ending of sorts. It has an ending to the story mode.
I guess it does, but you can still get new songs, and you can still try and fucking become OCD and get, oh, I gotta get the perfect score.
Yeah, you can take that experience as far as you're willing to take it. Yeah. It's like couple of thousand songs up there. But I played an MMO, though. I played something similar to World of Warcraft. I played Final Fantasy XI.
Oh, Jesus.
So, I mean, I can kind of relate to the kind of mentality, I guess, that it takes to get hooked on a game like this. But to be honest, for me, it wasn't a social networking thing. I do think that's the case for a lot of people. Well, not networking, just a social thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think people spend most of their time on there, not so much playing the game, as you said, as they would just talking to their buddies and hanging out and, you know, meeting up with their avatars, players. You know, people take it really far. People get married on there and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it is pretty silly and everything. But there actually is some... I don't expect to convince you tonight. There is some value to it as a game. Like, as a game, that's fun to play, you know? You know, the combat seems like the most monotonous kind of combat you can find in a video game, possibly, because you're just activating your attack and then pretty much kind of supplementing it with extra moves as your character hacks away at a set interval. That's determined by, you know, his weapon and level and all that stuff.
Yeah, but you know what? To me, it's not even like the fact that it's an animation, you know, just a click of a button and this elaborate move is portrayed. It's the fact that they've basically turned killing a monster into a new front end for, like, the slot machine mentality. Where it's like, well, I'm gonna do another pull on this machine because maybe that rare item will drop, or maybe I'll get gold, or maybe I'll get nothing. Oh, I'll lose. I'll have to do it again and again and again and again for hours and hours. And then, oh, the patch came out. We can get 5 more levels. It just,
well, yeah, they'll keep roping you in. I'll keep getting you to buy stuff. But the appeal of the experience isn't that. There are aspects of it that are slot machine-ish, and you can spend your time trying your luck over and over, you know, for days, who knows, until you finally get something you're looking for. But you don't have to participate in that. I never really participated in anything like that. I just liked, I liked the group combat aspect of it, you know. I liked, you know, coordinating with a group and taking down NPC, you know, taking down monsters that are a lot tougher than you, and making it work. It feels good. Like it's a pretty unique experience, you know, from any other video game. Even if you're playing a co-op shooter online, it's basically just aiming and killing an alien. You know, this requires some kind of strategy and coordination. So it's pretty unique. It can be fun as a game. It can. It's what you do with it, really. You know.
I mean, I can see that aspect of it. I do see value in the game itself, but if it ended, maybe it. I mean, there's got to be residual effect in the joy you feel in coordinating that same effort time after time.
See, but that all depends on the user too, and that goes for a lot of games. I mean, most I had exchanged emails. I don't want to say I spoke to him. I exchanged emails with Jeff, and he told me how he had plowed through the Force Unleashed 2 in 5 or 6 hours, you know. And a lot of games can be played that way. But if you want also, you could suck the bone dry and, you know, get a good 30 hours out of that game with all the, you know, all kinds of bonus challenges and going through it in harder levels and stuff like that, trying to earn achievements and trophies. And the same thing kind of applies on a larger scale, of course, to an MMO. I mean, it has a main storyline. There is a main quest that you follow. And then there's just 1,000 other little mini quests that you can choose to do. But there is a main body to it. If one wanted to, they could get to the end of that and then put it down. But they, you know, they either get addicted, they want to hang out with their friends, or they just like the game too much. For me, it was I liked the game. I didn't really have. I was an antisocial MMO gamer. I don't know how I pulled it off. But.
Well, do you think maybe a function of that is because it's on a console? Because maybe it's easier to communicate on a computer and keyboard, and like games like WoW are maybe a little more addictive because that communication is relatively simple. Like, you, as sure as you can type, you can chat. You don't have to use any kind of a extra controller or peripheral.
Yeah, you can speak on World of Warcraft, right? That actually doesn't appeal to me personally.
Speaking of that, I went over to see Sean one time when he was in a cycle of being hooked on WoW, and he had his like TeamSpeak type thing up, and you know, some of the people seemed okay, like talk about the games, whatever. But there would be the type of person. Like, that would be, the office funny man, who would, like, be
right.
Basically like Michael Scott, dropping these fucking 1999 references, expecting people to just roll over when anytime he said like "waza" or some shit like that. Like, people are fucking corny as shit.
Let me tell you, you think that would be less uncomfortable? You think that would be less uncomfortable over the internet? It's not. It's just as awkward when you can't see the face of the person that you're looking at.
Yeah.
But that's exactly why I'm not into the chat. Like, this is the thing about dealing with people that, you know, I want nothing to do with, is their personalities. When I'm playing a video game, you know, when it comes down to text, sure, people will still bullshit and waste time. But I don't know. I guess it's not as imposing. Like, you know, it's not so in your face when it happens. And also, you know, it takes time. Like, people are less inclined to spout bullshit when it takes them a long time to type. You know, instead of rapping Eminem lyrics while they're grabbing their nuts. You know, so I feel like, you know, I'd rather play a game. You know, when they're working on the new Final Fantasy that's bombing so far, a lot of people were complaining that they weren't including voice chat in it. And I was personally thrilled by it. And it also lets you, it gives you the opportunity to play with people from around the world, because they have these functions now that'll facilitate, like, you can translate your sentences, you know, to other languages on the fly once you get to learn it. So, you know, Final Fantasy XI was, you know, I was playing with people from the United States and France, Germany, Japan, and maybe Australia, I'm not sure. I think there's a lot of benefits to cutting the voice chat out. Like, yeah, it can save you time when you're trying to relay a message, but it doesn't wind up being worth it for all its low points.
Well, I mean, they have the voice chat enabled in, like, StarCraft II, for example, a game I play, but I can walk away from, and nobody uses it. If they do, they'll just do it with a friend on, like, Skype outside of the game. But if imagine if people used it, like, you're playing people in Korea that can't even type proper English. They call you USA. They don't call you by your fucking screen name. They refer to you as USA, and they're constantly asking you about hamburgers. Yes.
So wait, are you usually play? You just never know who you're going to get. I've not played either of the StarCrafts, believe it or not.
When you play online, I don't play the story mode. I play online multiplayer, and typically it's people from your region, but occasionally, somehow, I guess maybe people live in the region and they're just from that area. There are foreign people that don't speak the language, that maybe hail from an Asian country, that you'll be either teamed with or put up against. And if you're teamed with them and you try to communicate, like maybe, you know, like you said, when you want to take down a monster and like you plan what you're going to do. You choose, okay, right, well, you have a ranged attack. I'll use a close-up attack. Shit like that. You try and communicate with your partner. They can't fucking talk back to you. They'll just type okay 3 times, no matter what you fucking write. So it kind of falls apart anyway.
That's your signal. That's when you break out the guitar and start including them in a parody song, right?
Well,
once you realize they don't know a lick of English, they're becoming part of an intro.
What we started doing is when Sean and I would be on a 3v3 team and we'd have a random partner, we would warn the guy that if you prove to be not good in a certain amount of time, you're going to have a bad game, and we would just fucking kill our own teammate and leave. Because you got to figure, 3v2, the odds are stacked against you. So you may as well just like get your frustration out on the guy who sucks right away. Just kill your own fucking partner and let him know why you're doing it, and basically being a dick and just saying like you're basically admitting defeat, but still getting the joy of killing the guy,
of looking better than someone.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, it's better than like eking out a close loss over like 2 hours. You look at 5 minutes, the guy doesn't have shit. Like, he's building everything wrong. You know, you just say, hey, you know, fuck this guy, and you just kill him. And he's like, dude, what the fuck? I don't understand. Dude, I'm your teammate. I'm your pard.
That is pretty sad, actually. especially if the guy isn't, if he doesn't have much success socially, you know, outside of gaming. Like, to come onto an online game and be told that you suck and get kicked out has just got to be a serious blow to your ego.
Well, you know what? Maybe that's why, like, because there's a kid that I worked with who still works with the company but lives somewhere else. But when he was around and we'd bullshit at work, he would say, oh, yeah, I play StarCraft. I'm like, oh, I do too. Do you ever go on Battle.net? And he's like, I don't do the multiplayer thing.
Never heard of it.
I don't do the multiplayer thing like that. And I'm wondering if maybe he, like, he's not very good socially, so maybe he, like, went online to play with others and, like, have this fucking utopian experience of, like, hey, I'll build this type of unit, and we'll work together, and we'll have a good game, and, like, someone just fucking decided he wasn't good enough and just burned his entire base down, and it ruined him.
There's a blacklist on the internet somewhere of people who suck at StarCraft, and his name is on it. Or maybe he's the man. You never know. He just doesn't want you to know about this double life that he's leaving.
Maybe.
Where he's some kind of supreme commander who I know nothing about the game.
Supreme commander.
But I mean, is it big enough? Because the game is huge. The first StarCraft is huge, and it's old, right? Like, people are still playing that up until the second one came out. Is it the kind of game that people can make money off of? Like, you know, competing?
Yeah. I think that there's still a pretty good pro gamer circuit, and I know that there's a lot of tournaments for this new game, especially since it was it had a big release, and people still play it now.
Right.
I think they'll be playing it for a few more years. I mean, considering that the first one was released in 97, maybe 98, and you know, I mean, I'm sure that there's still people that play the original and the old one.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
Not many games have a lifespan like that. So, and since the second one was so well received, also, I'd imagine it's going to be around for a long time. And so, World of Warcraft.
But that, again, that's the difference between that and World of Warcraft is, you know, 20 minutes, an hour, you can just be fucking
completely
done.
It's not life consuming. I mean, anything has a potential, you know, depending on the person. Sure, someone could get addicted to StarCraft, but it's not. It doesn't lend itself to that type of behavior. They don't have you on StarCraft walking 45 minutes to get to where you're going to do something with five other people, and then one of them goes, oh, sorry, I got to go eat dinner, and so you spend another half an hour looking for someone new. Like, that's the kind of thing that can happen in an MMO. You can spend 2 hours, 3 hours trying to get something done and get literally nothing done, and maybe even die and wind up behind where you started that day.
Let me ask you something.
And then if you got a personality like me, that's when you're on a mission. I'm like, I'm not leaving this TV until I've made some fucking progress.
Let me ask you, do you think that there are the World of Warcraft characters that have, like, real-time character play of, like, a year plus? Like, a year's worth of hours played?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, because World of Warcraft... Oh, absolutely. It came out in, what, 2005, 6, something?
Oh, shit, yeah, maybe. Maybe multiple years. There's probably... it came out 5 years ago. There's probably a character that has 5 years.
I was going to say, yeah, exactly. Like, if it's been out a year, you're guaranteed pretty much that 75% of the time it's been released, someone has been logged into it, whether or not they've been playing. Definitely someone has racked up some years on that thing. And there were people I knew in Final Fantasy who had racked up years on it. And they seemed pretty normal. They got on in life a hell of a lot better than I did. I don't know. I'm like, I don't understand how these people have all this time. Weeks longer on the other side of the country. I don't get it.
And then, like, I'll look at it as an outsider. I don't play the game. And I'll say, like, oh, you can't just fucking go up to somebody and kill them and take all this shit. Like, because that, to me, would make the game interesting. But I also bet if that was the case, like, if they didn't put this protection in, like, where you couldn't just fucking jack somebody
right
up,
be the first one
there
dead.
would be thousands of suicides related to people losing fake shit.
There would be that. People would just stop playing.
I bet people would kill themselves. If they've invested 5 years of their life building this fucking character up, carefully choosing a fucking horse for it to ride on, and, like...
Oh, so you mean killing as in the character gets wiped out?
Like, some dude creates a fucking great character and just totally destroys people and murders them. Like, befriends them, takes them to challenging areas, and just puts a sword through them and steals other shit. And, like,
yeah,
and logs
wasn't
off.
Wasn't there a South Park episode like that where some fat guy was just killing everyone?
Yeah, I guess.
He managed to somehow gain power, like, above what were even supposed to be allowed on a server and was just destroying everyone
and ruining
their good time.
From my understanding, you can't just go up to somebody and just fucking kill them without them, like, agreeing.
No, but nobody would play it. Nobody would play it. That would be no fun.
That would
it's
be
bad
total
enough
fun.
It takes you
That'd be the real world.
Done.
You could go up, you know what? Altruism.
But if I wanted to play the real world, I'd leave the house.
Exactly.
I'm playing video games, damn it.
So it's got to be completely safe. There's got to be padded walls. and nobody can do you harm unless you allow them.
Within the context of the game, if it's a game that's all about cooperative play, you know, and sometimes they do have player versus player aspects to them. I'm sure World of Warcraft has some kind of. I'm positive actually they have some kind of player versus player thing.
They probably have some
fucking.
You can't
get jumped while you're minding your own business, like fishing in a lake.
See, that's the thing. Yeah, while some guy's like fucking at his favorite fishing hole with his armor off. Like, he's wearing the default wife beater, whatever the fuck the character has when it has nothing on, sitting there with a cane pole, and somebody comes up and just shoves a goddamn scimitar in his spine and says, "What's up? You should watch your fucking back. This is World of Warcraft." But no, they probably have the player versus player areas, but it's got, like, wrestling mats on the walls and fucking and padded doors. And if you die, you don't die. You don't lose your stuff because we want that money coming in.
I don't think there's much of a penalty for dying in general in World of Warcraft. I really should stop talking about the game because I don't know shit about it. I didn't play it, but I don't think it's that bad, really. But yeah, the player versus player parts of it are probably, you know, pretty contained. You know, like the very strict rules that only apply to that and everything. But what who knows? You'll probably see a game like that. You know, gaming tastes. While the industry is growing, tastes are getting more diverse, and you're seeing a lot of weirder games, especially coming out of Japan. The kind of shit that we can't imagine any kind of human being wanting to play, and the shit sells over there. So who knows? One day I'm sure there'll be a game that caters to people who would like to be killed while they're minding their own business, trying to buy some armor in town.
And that's the day I quit the show. When that game comes out, when you can just totally... When it's basically like GTA, but like everybody's in the game. Like there's no non-playing characters. It's all people, and you can just pull them out of their own fucking car... And maybe you can bash them in the head, maybe they bash you back, but it's just fucking war, and you lose all your shit. That's the thing. That's what I want.
And would it be deliberately devoid of any kind of storyline? Like that?
Yes!
Add
fuck a story!
Of, right.
Yeah, right. You know what? That's right. Boxwine in the Heroes Talk chat room says, it's going to be your own avatar. You and your fucking street clothes... with your fucking your shitty sneakers with the laces that never tie and your fucking and maybe you have a fucking shitty haircut that's on there too. You're wearing a fucking dumb green peppermint shirt like I have on now with the fucking stripes. And maybe you get pounded in the fucking face or maybe you do the pounding.
Sounds interesting. I'll check it out.
That's basically what GTA 4 multiplayer was like. that's my ideal multiplayer experience.
I think it's on the way. They already took the first step. They already did it with GTA 4.
Mm-hmm.
Adding some interesting multiplayer modes. I think there's an MMO coming that will be, you know, focused on criminal activity, and I'm sure killing and robbing your fellow man will be part of it.
Will it be designed for mob enthusiasts?
I hope not. I really hope not. I'd imagine if someone were to tackle that a project like that with any kind of sense, that you know, they'd have to realize that there would have to be a really diverse array of allegiances, you know, that one could be a part of, and a really big world. I who knows? I don't even know if something like that would really be possible.
I don't know
with today's technology, like to have a persistent world like GTA. Except with a large number of people running through them, like an MMO, a couple of thousand people logged into it at once. I don't really know, but it would be great to see.
It would really just be WoW, without the fucking bullshit elf stuff. Just people wearing clothes instead of armor, and instead
no
of
menus, no text.
Instead of swords, you have like everything ranging from chopsticks to fucking bazookas. Just be fucking great. Anyway.
You know, all right,
Mike, I gotta say, it's always great hearing from you. You are a true, true expert when it comes to the topic of video games.
Thank you. Hopefully, I'll be an expert at something that's worth something one day.
Hey, you know,
I'm working on it.
Keep at it. Plug away, buddy.
All right, brother. Speak to you later.
All right, take care. That's our buddy Mike from Queens. He's a good dude, and he loves his fucking video games. Fucking Xbox, he would say. If I asked him about it. But I didn't. My dog smells so fucking bad right now. It's goddamn deplorable. I really think that there's some... I'm going to find shit on the floor. I don't know. That is, if I leave my contacts in, I'll be able to see it. Because I have terrible vision. I wear contact lenses. And I'm one of those kids that had had glasses as a young child. Second grade, I got my first pair of glasses. I was 8 years old, squinting at a fucking chalkboard, and like you don't want to get noticed doing that. You don't want the teacher to say, I noticed your son couldn't read the board. And he even sat in the front row. So I got fingered, basically. Oh, God, if Mayonnaise is listening, he could have a fucking remix today. That's just fucking, would be astoundingly gay. I got my first pair of glasses in second grade. And they're showing me all the options. They're showing me the I get to pick my frames. Like, they're trying to make it exciting. Like I'm picking out something, like a new toy or something. But it's just really a horrible, removable disfigurement that I need because I can't read the board from where I'm sitting. And the first pair, the options that they showed me were like, you know, what type of frame you want? Do you want the plastic or do you want the wire? And then they come to the lenses. And they're like, you can have any color lens you want. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. I actually, my first pair of fucking glasses, I actually had tinted fucking lenses. I had brown tinted lens fucking glasses like I was 75 years old in second fucking grade. Tinted goddamn lenses where you would put the glasses down on your fucking homework, your white paper, and you would see brown. You would see circles of brown where the fucking thick goddamn glasses were, and they were thick. They were fucking thick. You could see the lens, a quarter inch of a lens sticking out beyond the frame. That's how fucking thick they were. They were like something that they mentioned on the last episode of The Awful Hour, the Coke bottle glasses. I heard them talking about this, like how could I think it was Vilchop that said, "How come you never see anybody, but like freaks, with the Coke bottle glasses?" Yeah, let me tell you, I had the fucking Coke bottle glasses because instead of picking good options like lightweight lenses, which I don't even know if they had them back then, to be fair, I had fucking tinted lenses. They never really gave the option of what kind of lens weight or thickness I wanted to put on my fucking nose and just be completely irritated with and develop a fucking twitch because of them. But they were thick. They were so fucking thick. And all I had to hear was, "If only you sat back from the TV, you'd have perfect vision." As if sitting several feet away from a television for a couple hours a day is going to bring me to the point where I need the bottom of a Coke bottle to see. It's my fucking fault because I like to watch "You Can't Do That on Television" at a reasonable distance. I'm already squinting to read math problems on a fucking board. Do you think I want to squint to see my favorite TV show? No. I want to sit at a distance where I can not squint. So it had to be pretty close. But what no one told me, they told me much later, is that if I only wore the glasses when I needed them, I wouldn't have to wear them all the time. And if you think about it, it makes sense, because when I first needed glasses, I would squint to see far away, but obviously I wouldn't be squinting all the fucking time. It's not as if I just put the glasses on and the world was suddenly clear. I could just see further. But I just started wearing them all the time, and my fucking eyes turned into, like, goddamn eggs. They became deformed. I couldn't see fucking shit. Couldn't see a goddamn thing because years and years and years, I fucking wore the glasses daily until I fell asleep in them. First pair got fucking mangled. I was the kid with the crooked fucking glasses. Like a retired mob boss with these fucking tinted lenses. The worst fucking thing you could possibly... Nobody ever told me not to get the tinted fucking lenses. No one. They should have. They wanted to be nice. And they should have also said, "Hey, don't wear them all the time. Or you'll always be wearing glasses." Like, I wondered why, like, "Oh, you have glasses, but you don't wear them all the time. What's wrong with you?" And I guess kids weren't smart enough to say, "Well, I'm preserving my fucking eyesight. That's what I'm doing." So maybe that's why I'm blind without my fucking contacts. And maybe it's also why I see nothing but fucking floaters. So I've been doing the contact thing since maybe seventh grade, and I just gave up on glasses. I've never had a pair of glasses since maybe high school. Just completely gave up on them. I've had a pair, but I haven't worn them for fucking years. I just go, wake up, pop the contacts in, go to sleep, sometimes with the goddamn contacts still on, wake up, chisel them out with that fucking sludge that builds up on them. Just throw them on the ground because they're disposable. Fucking disgusting. Like, they really just shatter into nothing. So just throw them out on the goddamn floor, let them harden up. Maybe the dog eats them. How gross is that? Little salty fucking treat that turns into dust if you crush it. But every day, contacts. So I go to the eye doctor, and they say, hey, we're noticing that you have the blood vessels in your eyes are expanding and spreading into the field of vision. And I'm wondering, how often do you wear your glasses? I said, I don't even have a pair of glasses. And the guy basically collapsed back in his chair so that, like, when he did, his little wheelie chair went back and whoosh. You need glasses. You can't just wear like, I'm getting yelled at by this little fucking man who looks like fucking Chip from Napoleon Dynamite. You need your glasses. You can't just wear contacts all the time. Your eyes need a rest. Well, I'm sorry. I don't have any fucking glasses. Okay? I don't have them. Okay, well, we'll get you ordered up. So I get my prescription, and I just fucking blow it off. For years. My prescription hasn't changed in years. I've been told that that's a very good thing. And I've also been told that because of that, I'm a candidate for the laser eye surgery. The fucking laser eye surgery, something that I've pined for. I've longed to zap the shit out of my fucking eyes so that I could wake up and see clearly and not have to scrape contacts out of my head. And not realize that I didn't accidentally sleep with the contacts in. I can just fucking see when I wake up. I can open my eyes. I see the clock. I say, oh, fuck, I'm a half hour late. Fuck it, I don't care. So they can kiss my fucking dick. I don't give a shit. I'll just stay late. But I'm seeing all while I'm doing this. That's the fantasy world that I have. But I don't think I can do it because my blood vessels are expanding because of a lack of oxygen. Apparently, when you wear your contacts, your eye needs more oxygen. It's not coming into contact with it because there's plastic films on your eyes. So the way it does it, the blood vessels expand, brings more blood into the eye, which oxygenates the eye a little bit more. And it'll keep fucking doing that until all you see is this fucking twig work of goddamn blood vessels. So basically, I decided that I need to get some glasses. And I need to wear them. At night, I have to pick a certain point and just rip the contacts out of my head and get some glasses just to wear at night. And one day, Amanda got an email and realized that there was this... There's a rash of websites that you can buy glasses from if you know your prescription and maybe you fucking measure the distance between your eyes, whatever it is. And, you can get really inexpensive eyeglasses. And one of these sites, I'm not going to name them. Not because it's a bad thing, but whatever. I'm just not going to name them. They were giving away 10,000 pairs of glasses for free. So I'm thinking, well, this is great. I could just get glasses and use them, you know, at night. And who cares what they look like? Maybe if I could find a pair that looks halfway decent, maybe that'd be good if I just run out of contacts. Because that's another thing. If you have contacts and you have the fucking daily disposable kind, these motherfuckers here, individually wrapped and packaged dollops of saline solution and contact lens shits, you get into a habit of just waking up, plunking two in the eyes, throwing the goddamn things away, and repeating the next day until you realize, oh, fuck, I don't have enough contacts. And I have like four pairs, and it takes 7 days for these to ship. I either have to have glasses and wear them, or just double up on these contacts. Wear them 2 days instead of one. And for some reason, a daily disposable contact the next day gets like thinner. Somehow it gets fucking thinner. Like it biodegrades inside your eye. Your eye fucking melts a little bit of it away. Like the lining in a coffee cup. You just absorb some of it in your fucking eye. And you can't get more than a day or two out of them. So you stretch them out as long as you can. But if I had the pair of glasses, I wouldn't have to worry about that. I wouldn't have to go into that fucking panic. That because I ordered these 6 months ago and I think I'm just going to have an inexhaustible supply, I don't have to worry. But now that I have glasses, I don't have to worry. I got a free pair of glasses. I took Amanda's advice. And I found a frame that I thought was nice. That was pretty good. Maybe a plasticky kind of chunky frame. Light gray. And I even ordered, because I know I have terrible vision. I know my experience with the glasses before. I told you they were very thick lenses. I even ordered on the scale of thinness, the second from the top. Second from the top. Okay? So I got this wonderful pair of glasses. And I'm going to do the switch, I think, on the fucking show here. And I'm going to finish out the show while wearing these glasses. So I'm going to rip my contacts out and put the glasses on. Live on the show. I really don't know what the fuck I can possibly say as I do this, but you can take a look as I pull the contacts out of my eyes. Just fucking and do what I always do. Just throw them here. Here we go. Take this. Throw that one out. Both of them are out. I'm now completely fucking blind. I see shadows and colors and shapes. And my free glasses, light gray frames, for a large skull with the almost best thinness that you could possibly get are these fucking things here. These fucking goddamn prison fucking issue. Old guy from Up. Fucking terrible goddamn glasses. Holy shit. These fucking things are the worst. First of all, if you can see the cam, and I don't know that you can tell how thick these fucking things are because you can see my entire skull in each of the lenses. They are fucking Coke bottle goddamn glasses. And they ride up my nose and cover my fucking eyebrows. And I think that aspect of it, the covering of the fucking eyebrows, makes them look more pedophile-ish. My own mother said that I looked like I committed a sex crime. I showed her these fucking glasses. And this is the day my grandmother had a stroke. My mom is an emotional wreck. I said, Mom, what do you think of my glasses? She said, I don't really care. She said, oh my God, you look like you committed a sex crime. You look like a sex criminal. My fucking mother said this. So I decided that I have the ugliest glasses ever. Next to like state, and I figured these are this must be like what the poor inmates get when they go in jail. Like maybe after that first day they get this like a fist right to the fucking bridge of their nose and their expensive glasses get shattered and they get handed these fucking things. That's what I think. Until I Google imaged state issue glasses and they actually look better than these. These are uglier than the free shit you get in a prison. That's basically what it is. So if you're not seeing this live, go to Google Images and search for state-issue prison glasses. And just imagine a set of frames uglier than that. I am now the fucking guy that they're talking about on The Awful Hour with these fucking glasses. I'm the Coke bottle fucking glasses guy. All I need is the bandage, the one eye patch bandage that they were talking about, and I'm the exact freak that they were fucking describing. It is so fucking terrible. I felt like, you know, I shouldn't complain because they're free glasses. Although, I did pay for the thinness upgrade. I paid a little more to maybe have something that didn't weigh 12 fucking pounds. But as you can tell, they look like a fucking peephole. Each lens looks like a fucking peephole. They're the worst. So I was wondering if I should keep them. So I decided to go on a website where I could interact anonymously with people. Omegle.com. And what I did was I just asked people. My goal was to meet new people and see what they thought of my glasses. And I hold on. I'm getting a very special request here as I play this. This is coming in from someone that I know very, very well, who's basically being cruel by requesting this for some reason. I don't know why they would request this. I went on Omegle and I asked people. And surprisingly, oh, you fucking, you goddamn whores. How dare you? How dare you play a fucking commercial? 30 seconds? 30 fucking seconds? Are you goddamn serious? Fuck you, YouTube. Seriously. 30 fucking, the whole video is a fucking minute 30. I don't fucking get it. Suck my fucking dick is what you can do. Ah, Jesus fucking Christ. A lot of people said that they were good when they weren't penises on Omegle. There's still a lot of people that just jerk off on these sites for whatever reason. And I'm thinking that these people are trolling. I don't think that they look very good. And I think the fact that the woman who gave me life said I looked like I had committed a sex crime is a good indication that they're not really good looking. So I'm going to return them. And I'm gonna spend extra money to get the thinnest lenses I can. I think they even told me, yeah, we're gonna bump you up to the thinnest lenses. Because your prescription is so bad. They actually said it's so bad. Like I gave them the wrong address or something and we had to call customer support. And they commented on how bad my fucking prescription was. I don't know if that's appropriate, but they did that. Okay, really, YouTube? This is really getting fucking miserable. There's no way there should be that much of a fucking ad on this. So anyway, I have a pair of glasses.
When I wake up...
And I don't think this is nice. I don't think this is nice at all. By the way, I have the exact... These are the exact same glasses. And prescription. I look exactly like these fucking Scottish pricks. I would buy some shitty glasses and I would wear them on Omegle. Yeah, so people were not kind. They're not kind. Anybody who has black glasses, that's who I look like. I've gotten Drew Carey. They're like, oh, you look like that guy. I'm like, well, what guy? The fat guy with the show. Oh. Drew Carey. Yeah, Drew Carey. Oh, okay, great. Yeah. You look like falling down. You know, the restaurant. Shooting the guns. Oh, yeah. Elvis Costello. Yeah. Oh. This is the one that truly hurts. because I hadn't seen the video since 1994, okay? And I see this guy's fucking glasses are exactly as hideous as mine are. And I'm not gonna be the person who even dares to claim that they hate this song. I'll never turn it off, as long as I live. I'm sorry, I love it. All right, honestly though, you know, how many verses do we really need? We know you're a lot of things, and you're gonna be those things next to her. She gets it. You're really fond of her. You don't have to convince her anymore. I think after you say, I would walk 500 miles to do some trivial fucking thing, I think it's understood that you're pretty goddamn fond of this fucking bitch. You know what? 3-4 verses, she doesn't even chime in and say, you know what, walk 250, I'll meet you halfway. Not even halfway, a goddamn quarter of the way. It's 1,000 miles, he says. Can't even say 1,000. To be that man, to walk 1,000 miles. It hurts. Deep in my soul, it hurts that I have such terrible fucking eyes. And what hurts worse is that every time I hear, well, you sat so close to the TV. You would think that I was one of those fucking, the fish that clean the fish tank with my face pressed up against the goddamn screen. I was 3 or 4 feet away from the fucking thing. I don't know. I'm trying to save my eyes. You understand? I don't care. I don't care what the internet thinks about my vision. Although that fucking Proclaimers thing really does kind of fucking get to me. I'm not gonna lie. I'm gonna return these. And maybe I'll get a thinner frame. Something like that. I don't know. Maybe this will be the ultimate test of the experiment that I was trying to pull. I was actually, since I've been spending a lot of time at hospitals, a place where generally people don't want to be, I've decided to conduct a little bit of a social experiment. And I'm curious about maybe what everybody else would have thought the outcome was. I decided that I wanted to just, as I'm walking by people or even just approach people and just say hello to them and see what they do. And typically, like, my expected thing was like, people are going to just reciprocate. Like, that's just how it's going to be. And I was kind of like, you know, it really wasn't much of a fucking thing. So it wasn't much of an experiment. I would walk up to somebody and look at them and just say, hello. And they would all pretend like, you know, they're like, oh, I don't know this guy. I mean, just, they would either repeat exactly what I said, or they would do like some kind of physical gesture where it's like the half-cocked wave, like the one-time queen wave thing where it's almost like a tomahawk chop. Or they would do the lift the head up nod type thing. And I thought everybody would at least do that. But of the 15 to 20 people, there was only one who did not reciprocate. I talked to a mix, to answer Keith Fu in the Heroes Talk chat room. I spoke to a mix of staff and visitors. To kind of have, because you figure that visitors will be there and they'll probably, they're probably not in a good state, and they'll probably appreciate some kind of interaction with anybody. Or maybe they won't. So they're like a 50-50 chance. And staff, they're used to talking to strangers, but it's also their job, so there's still kind of a 50-50 chance with them. So it's a kind of an even mix. And since I've been spending a lot of time at this hospital, some of the people that I got to do this to were indeed staff, and one of them, the only one who didn't reciprocate, was a smiling doctor. While I'm walking towards him, didn't even realize that he would be part of this, but I saw him walking towards me, smiled, I said, "Hello." And he instantly turns, goes, "Okay," and walks out the door. "Okay," and walks out the door. Who the fuck says okay to a hello? Looks at me. We weren't far away. He obviously knew what the fuck I said to him. I think that his day was over, and he had enough of being a smiling doctor dealing with fucking patients that aren't gonna make it. So my whole experiment fucking failed. And I kind of realized that people, like, it takes a really fucking a sour individual to not throw a hello back at a hello. You have to really be just to not fucking, you have to not value a human life, I think. To take a hello and meet it with a, "Ugh, how do I get out of this?" And you're right, you streamer 17550. My experiment didn't fail. The experiment did go through. It was, in fact, the hypothesis that failed. I don't know. I really feel like an asshole with these glasses on. I truly feel like a complete asshole. Ugh. But I'm thinking that maybe the results were pretty close to what I was expecting, only because it was a hospital. If I had done this, like, because it's, you know, it's a peak shopping season. If I had done this in a mall, I guarantee it would be the inverse. There would be one person that smiles and returns a hello, and everybody else would think that I'm some kind of fucking scammer or some, like, Israeli guy trying to sell some fucking skin sand to the women. "Excuse me, miss! Excuse me, miss! Excuse me, miss! Hello, sir! 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 I can make your skin beautiful!" These people, these fucking kiosks at the goddamn mall selling fucking, "It's from the Dead Sea." And why can't I do an accent? Why does it always have to be some kind of mix of fucking Irish or Jamaican? I don't understand. Whatever. I wish I had skills. But they're selling shit. "It's made from the fucking Dead Sea." Or, "Buy this pillow. It smells like mint and it'll cure fucking arthritis." Shut the fuck up. "Sir! Sir, excuse me? Sir! Hello, sir!" I think that's why it would fail at a mall, and also on the strip in Las Vegas, because people are so washed out of just being approached that they're conditioned to just ignore anything that doesn't actually touch them. If one of these guys even had the balls selling their shit at a mall kiosk to tug on a shirt, they would be fucking decked. They would be assaulted and fucking hit. Because I think people are on such edge that they've got to get the perfect gift for the person. They've got to get the fucking list fulfilled. I need all these things, and I need them now, and I have to have them wrapped, and I need cards. Because, well, last year they got me a gift card, so if I get them a gift card now, that's kind of payback for that, but it sets the stage for the next. People are on edge. And it only takes the slightest little fucking spark to set off the goddamn tinderbox that is the mall. And I'm going to do this experiment. I'm going to approach people at the mall, and I'm going to record this. This isn't like the fucking Shawnee Murphy and I talking about how we're going to record each other driving. I'm going to go to the mall, and I'm going to greet people with a fucking video camera in my hand, and I'm going to see what the result is. And maybe I'll make a fucking YouTube game out of it. I don't know. Maybe I'll post the first half of it, the approach, and let the people guess what it is. And then maybe later in the week, I'll post the whole fucking thing. And you'll see if you get it right. I'll wear the glasses just so that I don't have to go into the Disney store. Because I'll probably be stopped from even going into it. Just right as soon as I get near the Buzz Lightyears, they'll fucking ask me to leave. And maybe people won't fucking hit me in the face. Maybe that old adage of never hit a man with glasses, maybe that'll hold up. Although I don't know why it would. Like, you would think if you're the type of person to want to punch somebody in the face, punching glasses would be fucking amazing. Like, you punch a face, you want the face to explode. Well, here you go. Here's the perfect scenario for something to actually break and crumble under the strength of your fist. Your angry mall fist. Glasses. And you know it's going to be a bitch for the guy because he can't see, number one. That means he's got to go and get a ride. Disrupt someone else's day. And it's going to be a fucking expense for him, too. So you're really fucking this guy up by hitting him with the glasses. Right in the fucking... right in the seam where the two fucking lenses, right between the goddamn eyebrows, just have the whole fucking thing shatter on the terrible mall tile. Yeah, I think people, if you're inclined to punch somebody, I really don't think that fucking thing holds up. I don't think "don't hit a man with glasses" works. I mean, maybe it's out there because it obviously doesn't work. Maybe that's a saying because it's so enticing to want to punch somebody with corrective lenses on their face. But maybe it's along the lines of just being accepted as something. Like someone said it and it just got passed along. Like the insult "four eyes" that no one ever uses or is ever hurt by. Like I don't know if I've had glasses. I was never fucking called "four eyes." And if somebody did, who gives a shit? Who really gives a fuck? I don't understand. Why is that the biggest insult? But every fucking sitcom where a kid has to get glasses. Oh, hey, four eyes. Ooh, down in the dumps. I've got these things that make me see better, but they called me four eyes like I had four eyes, but I don't. Ustreamer17550 says, "You know, I've never heard 'never hit a man with an eye patch,' which is actually worse than 'don't hit a man with glasses.'" It's true. But yeah, he's saying that society must hate pirates. Yeah, you wouldn't want to hit a man with a fucking eye patch because where's your finger going to go? In his fucking skull. Like, you could kill a guy that has a fucking eye patch. Imagine, and that brings it up, the notion of a pirate, and the fact that they wear eye patches and they have wooden legs. These are people that are fighting and losing critical organs and still fucking fighting. They haven't figured out that, hey, you know, I lost one of my fucking legs, my hand is now a metal hook, I can't see out of half of my face. Maybe I should stop drinking a bottle of rum every day and accusing my closest fucking mate of trying to be my undoing. Maybe I shouldn't be making the people running the goddamn ship jump off a plank into shark-infested waters. And the fucking and the way you hear about it, these Englishmen, these naval soldiers or whatever the fuck they are, officers, had a real problem with these drunk people with one legs. One legs. They has one legs! And it was a problems. Plurals is hard. They really had an issue fighting, and they had guns too. They were in a gunfight with somebody with one eye, and it was supposed to be some kind of a fucking fair fight. These able-bodied, fucking trained soldiers and killers were on boats that were better equipped, not stolen, by the way, not second-hand owned and blasted full of holes already. They board these fucking rickety ships and slaughter people with one fucking leg who are drunk to shit and have been drunk for months. I don't know. I'm starting to feel a little fucking pirate sympathy here. You know, I mean, maybe they had so little that you should have just let them rule the sea. Like, they were really ruling the fucking sea. They're missing one of every critical pair a human body could have. I'm sure that they had little patches over where their kidneys were. Like, one of them was missing. They had a Jolly Roger patch just taped on their lower back on one side. They probably had a cut-open nutsack with one ball. They're basically half men. Drinking more fucking rum than anybody could consume if they were 100% intact. I don't know. Pirates. Well, you know, that's the thing. The internet really, they love pirates, ninjas and shit. But maybe I think that that's old news. Because, I don't know. Has the internet given up on pirates and now it's zombies? I don't know. Is zombie the new fucking thing? I don't know. I know I've done that before. I'm not going into it. But I just fucking wonder. I just wonder how loyal the internet is to their beloved fucking pirate. Or their stupid ninja who fucking does fast cut motions and answers fucking questions and shit. Ask a ninja anything. He's hilarious. Ugh. I'm sick of all these mythic creatures that the fucking internet embraces. It's all fucking, you know, it's all the shit that fucking fifth graders love. Ninjas, pirates, and fucking zombies. Meanwhile, it's 35-year-old men just completely fucking acting as though they're real. Having fucking debates in adulthood of who would win. I don't know. It's fucking silly to me, goddammit. Fucking silly. And the internet, you know, everybody thinks it's all reliable now. Everything has to be up 100% of the time. And when a site goes down, there's always an uproar. There's always some kind of it puts everybody in a fucking tizzy. And I'm talking about Tumblr. If any of you, I don't know if you actually use Tumblr. I've been using it for quite a while. Let me adjust my glasses because I now have the right to do that. I've been using Tumblr since it began, before all of you. And I own every Japanese release of every Weezer record. Subsequently, hey. But I've really had a lot of faith in the service Tumblr. But what happened lately is that they were down for like 48 hours. They were down for 2 days, and that may seem like no big fucking deal. And in fact, the public perception of it, of this whole incident and people being upset with it, is like, so what? Go outside. Go read a book. As if, like, this major service being down is just going to result in an absence of cat pictures. But what people don't really get is that, you know, in the recent months, Tumblr has become, like, the number 45 most trafficked website on the internet. It's host of many blogs that have fucking, like, solid book deals. Like, maybe 7 or 8 of the Tumblr sites that are just, like, image and a caption have, like, fucking books. What's that one? The hipster fucking diet, awful family pictures, whatever, or awkward family pictures. I don't know. That fucking Garfield without John. Garfield without Garfield. Look, there's a lot of sites, and they have fucking book deals, okay? There are businesses that have turned to Tumblr. People have fucking abandoned... Thank you, you streamer. Look at this fucking hipster, Joe Mandy's site. These are sites that fucking... That have used... the platform... Like, for their business... They've moved from, like, hosted solutions to this Tumblr because they trusted it and everything like that. And now they're so popular that being down means there's fucking cash on the line. It's not just some site that doesn't make fucking money, that has, like, a shitload of venture capital. They sell ads. They sell placement in the fucking the directories. You can promote one of your Tumblr blogs in, like, the list of comedy blogs and pay, like, $50 a month to have that done. So it's happening, you know, a lot. They're making some money now. People sell themes that they've made on Tumblr. People are making money from it. So when I hear people say, well, why don't you just go outside? Stop being, like, inside. And maybe you should, like, leave your cat alone. I've actually seen someone say... Who cares? It's a website. Yeah. For the people that are going to post endless pictures of fucking lolcats like it's 2007 again. Sure, maybe they should do those things. But there are fucking businesses that are on this goddamn platform. And 2 fucking days is death. I mean, you hear about Twitter being down for like, for maybe a day. You never. It's down for 10 minutes and the world fucking erupts with, oh, fuck Twitter. But it's never down for fucking 2 entire goddamn days. That is a lifetime online. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, when it comes down to it, there are people that couldn't update their fucking sites. Like, there are people that their whole job is to publish on a fucking blog. That's all they do. Like, they go and they say, oh, I just bought this backpack. It's fantastic for traveling light. Click here to buy it on Amazon. Click here to read my review. Boring, boring, fucking snooze, cockface. And that's their whole job, to do that day in and day out, fucking 20 times a day. They make some money off of it, and that's what they do. And they couldn't do it for 2 days. And not only that, none of their other shit could be seen for 2 fucking days. And so the idea now is that you can't depend on anything as a public utility anymore. Because Tumblr is a big site. It, as I said, top 50. It gets a ton of fucking traffic. And if they can be just taken out for a day or two, any fucking site can be taken out for a fucking day or two. And it's beyond your control. So when I see sites, and like sites that I've built that use like Twitter APIs and shit, and they depend on Twitter being up or Facebook being up, I'm wondering if I'm doing the wrong thing. Like, is the web no longer about like collaboration? Because now if one of the fucking key sites goes out, your whole project is fucked. Or should it all just be that you host everything yourself, you build everything yourself, and fuck everybody else's work? I don't know. Analyzing that for the past 2 days, it was out. Just hitting refresh and saying, we'll be back shortly for 48 hours. And seeing people complain and whine justifiably on other sites. It just makes me wonder. As someone who's trying to develop sites that may lean on other services, if I put in all this effort and now it my project goes out there, and one of the key fucking components goes out, I'm fucked too. Yeah. I saw somebody on Twitter say that, well, now I know what Facebook users feel like. And I had to say, like, when has fucking Facebook ever been down for longer than, like, an hour? And, like, even that is fucking gigantic. For the amount of traffic they get per hour, to miss out on that fucking attention for their business is insane. But I don't know. I guess the public, since everything is free, everything sucks if it fails. I don't know. I really don't even know where I'm fucking going with this. I really don't even know why I'm complaining about this. The only thing I have on Tumblr is a site dedicated to chicks wearing fucking shit that isn't pants. That's really the only successful thing I have on Tumblr. Sure, I have blogs where I have pictures of my own shit, pictures of my shitting dog, and minor updates to this show. But that site is my only thing. And you know what? I probably shouldn't have fucking hosted it on Tumblr, I'm wondering. I'm wondering if I should not have hosted it on Tumblr. I don't know. I bet you none of you were even fucking affected. The people listening to this are probably the people that told everybody to go outside and read a book and do fucking Tai Chi in the park. Why don't you just make a sandwich? Just stay home and make some sandwiches instead of going on Tumblr and waiting for it to return. Perhaps you should just be quiet. Obviously, it's a popular site. I mean, people were fucking jonesing for it in the worst of ways. I don't know. And I sit and I use it as a fucking distraction. I go on there and I fucking refresh it. I look at Food Network humor. And any time I see a reference to Paula Deen and butter, I fucking howl. Because it's not just me. There are people out there that know this fucking silver-headed bitch uses way too much goddamn butter in everything she fucking cooks. Butter, y'all! Butter, y'all! I even saw a YouTube compilation someone put together of her just every time she says butter or y'all. Butter, 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 y'all. Butter, y'all. Butter. And I missed that episode of South Park where they lambasted or bastard, whatever. They ripped apart the fucking Food Network. And I need to see that. Really do. Now, if what Jen is saying right now is true, then the world cannot create anything better, because apparently she saw Paula Deen deep kissing a bust of herself made entirely out of butter. Y'all. I don't know. I need to take a break, I think. Should I even bother? Should I even bother taking a break? Because that's another thing that I want to know about. I want to ask a bunch of you that listen. I want to ask you some questions. It's not question time, but I'm really wondering. When you listen to podcasts and you listen to shows, is it real? Is it like an imposition on your time? Is it an arrogant thing to think I'm going to put out 2 hours of a talk show every week? And just throw it out there and people are going to eat it up. Is 2 hours just an insane amount of fucking talk radio? Podcast? I'm really wondering, and I'm considering doing a format change. I really am. I'm going to drink some more of this beverage. So if you don't hear me speak for a second, I'll be glugging some of this fucking, you know, probably plastic leech poison that will haunt me in my final hours. Because I think as the podcast thing progresses and a lot of shows get popular, people listen to more shows. People listen to a lot of fucking internet radio. And I find myself listening to a bunch of shows. I go to the site I built and I listen to the recommended podcast on Hear Us Talk. That's hearustalk.com/recommended. The likes of the Davey Mac Sports Podcast, The Awful Hour, whenever they release episodes. whenever we get a new episode from them. Which, you know what, I'm starting to wonder, is that the smart thing to do? To put out like only an amazing episode so that every time you do it, it's like, oh shit, they released a new episode. I gotta hear it now. And then it's like a month goes by. It's like, man, I really missed The Awful Hour. I'm wondering if that's the move. Maybe Veal Chop and Tony are just fucking mad geniuses. Or maybe they're just really not that into doing it anymore. I don't know. I don't know. But I listen to Best in Show. You know, and they're going to be live this week, Thursday night. On Hear Us Talk. And I listen to all these shows on this thing. And I caught myself listening to Joe Rogan's podcast. And I was enjoying it. And I looked down. I looked at the progress bar on the player. And I was halfway through at the hour mark. And I'm like, holy shit, really? Really? I got another hour to go. The balls on this dude. To go 2 hours, and then I realized, oh, shit. Well, I do that every week. I fucking ramble for 2 hours. Granted, I'm not describing how I can find God by eating pretzel M&Ms and fucking, you know, doing fucking bong loads all night. But I do tend to repeat myself, and I'm wondering, that am I being that person? Am I being the person that, like, maybe people listen to it, and they're like, oh, that's good, and they look down, and they're like, oh, 15 minutes? The fuck do you want from me? More than that. Yeah. I'm thinking that maybe Ustreamer 17550 has a point. For the average American attention span, 2 hours might be just too fucking long. Which means I'm going to bid farewell to my American audience. I will now only be entertaining those of you who are fans of the Proclaimers. And I encourage you to walk 500 miles with me. Scotland, I'm coming for you with my two-hour shows. God, I look like such a fucking dick. I really was on Omegle trying to get approval for these fucking glasses. And people were saying, dude, you look okay. And what I would do is, as soon as it would start, since like you could get nexted instantly, like I would ask the question. And so like I would be asking it to a blank screen. I wouldn't even see the person. I go, hey, do you like these ugly glasses? And then the guy's camera finally came up, and he had the same fucking glasses as me.
He's like, I think they're fine.
Actually, after he said, I think they're fine, he's like, well, then, you know, honestly, they really work for the nose. And, you know, the eyebrow, if you want to work the eyebrows and be emotive, you know, slide them down. I'm like, okay, dude, honestly, I don't want to get in this fucking level. You can just say they look ugly or they don't. Okay. I know that I have two fisheye lenses fucking helping me see right now. Okay. I could shoot a fucking skate video with my glasses. I could just hold it up in front of my fucking, in front of my friend's iPhone and shoot a perfect goddamn fucking skate video. So watch somebody rip up a fucking half pipe. Oh, shit. I don't know. But I've been thinking about that. Should the show be the continuous 2 hours? Or maybe Tuesday night is still 2 hours, but I break it up into two shows. Do I record 1 hour episode and then immediately another episode and just release two in a week? Do I do that? Do I break it up? I'm just trying to adapt. I'm trying to get with the fucking times. You know, Shawnee Murphy had expressed an interest in doing a pre-recorded show. I don't know what was so daunting about this live show. I really don't know. But I really do think it goes back to World of Warcraft, which I think we've covered as ad nauseum. So I don't need to go and delve into that again. But stepping up and doing a show each week and basically trying to make your life seem interesting or relatable, it's not an easy thing. I mean, like, you think about the shit that I talk about. Like, does anybody really give a fuck that I'm dissatisfied at dome lids? I like to think that maybe someone out there gets as angry as I do about this. I like to really think that. But I think deep down, people don't give a fuck. And if they're listening, it's because they want to see how fucking far I descend into my own fucking madness. I mean, it probably started with, someone so and so looked at me weird, and now today I'm complaining about chemicals. Where does it end? Where does that fucking go? If I'm not seeking out things to do for the show, and I'm just basically nitpicking every interaction that happened during the day. When do I just say that I don't need to worry about shit? That's what I'm wondering. I don't know. See, Pristine is saying that he thinks I'm gonna be one of those crazy people with the icicle toenails, the toenails that curl in on the front and sides, because he says I can say I knew Ken back when he wore shoes. I really don't think that I'm going to be that fucking person. I really don't think I'm going to turn into that fucking person that saves their own piss and their own hair clippings and all that. I can tell you I'm not going to. I think what I need to do is I need to do things like that fucking man on the street thing. I need to go and pursue stuff. But I get into these states. I get into these moods where I feel like I'm just trapped in my own fucking busyness. Dude, I can't do that. I'm just too fucking busy. I got too much going on. Complaining. Just fucking bitching about nonsense in my own head. And it's all fucking nonsense. So, speaking of Tumblr, I think Tumblr is down again according to Dart. Is that correct? They are down. Wow. So there was supposed to be some major war between 4chan and Tumblr. And nothing happened then. It's weeks later that Tumblr fucking dies. And just continuously, they've been down. But anyway, it doesn't matter. None of it matters. What I need to do is I need to really think about this. Do I keep the show at 2 hours? Do I break it up? And do I do an hour episode? Do I do 2 hour episodes a week? Record them both on Tuesday. Release one Tuesday. Release one fucking Thursday that you can listen to after Best in Show. I don't know. Who knows? I think the aspect I'm going to keep, though, is to some degree, I want to have a live audience. I liked the experiment of doing the show, the secret shows, as we called them. Like, when we couldn't do a live show because of Sean's hockey game or some other obligation, record a show ahead of time and release it on Tuesday. I liked it, but I always felt that something was missing. I like the fact that Mike from Queens can just call in during a fucking show and only mention the words Final Fantasy once. Can you even fucking imagine that? I never thought it would be possible. No, the guy, I don't know what the fuck. I'm rambling right now. I don't even know what the fuck I'm doing. I really don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I'm talking about social networking. I'm talking about fucking Twitter. And I'm getting messages like, have you had any this is it? I'm done moments. That's what Ustreamer 32, 230, whatever, some number, some anonymous man is wondering if I've ever had that moment of saying, you know what? Fuck it. Fuck it. I could say to a minor degree, yeah. I've had that feeling of like, so it's show day, and you're going to do a show. Why? You know? I've had that feeling, but I think that I get a lot out of this. I really enjoy seeing people interact with it and hearing from people that listen to it and getting feedback from it. That's the main thing. Like, whether or not I talk about shit or whatever, I think the material for me, it isn't as important as the fact that I'm doing it and the fact that I'm hearing back from people. So if I look up now and it says that 42 people or whatever the fuck it says have checked out tonight's show. And maybe that's not good for some people, or maybe that's great for others. The fact that it's not zero, or it's not just like, you know, my other computer, you know, that to me is fucking great. Because I'll hear from people and they'll say, you know, this episode was a little fucking weak. You kind of rambled on and on about shit. The Final Fantasy shit was great. You just kept it going too long. And whether or not they're right, the fact is, I love it. I love that they listen to it. And they might listen to it again. And if they enjoy it, they'll tell other people. So I think I'm kind of addicted to the fact that I have an outlet in the event that something happens in my life. In the event that I have an eventful day, I have an outlet where I can just fucking let loose and just eviscerate people for nothing. And as Casey is saying, my show seems to be better than, or the showing that my show receives is better than two random people from Vietnam who just managed to catch the tail end of News of the Weird. Or, isn't it weird but true? I don't know. See, I'm not about the. I'm not really in a zone where I want to quit doing the show. I'm obviously in a zone where I want to change it and make it more palatable for others. So, to answer you, yeah, I've obviously had the this is it, I'm done moments. I've had those thoughts of like, fuck it, why bother? But I think anybody doing anything for 5 to 6 years. That's inevitable. Pristine playing his fucking, you know, 67th hour of a video game. He's probably going to say, yeah, why am I doing this? He may continue, you know, but you're bound to fucking question this shit. And I think the difference is, do you question it and do you just instantly follow up with doing it? And that's what I've been doing. So if you have any suggestions of shit that you might want to hear differently, like, do you want an hour-long show, two of those a week, or do you like a two-hour show? I'm putting it out there to you. You can call in, you can email, you can do whatever the fuck you got to do. Twitter, Facebook, don't do Tumblr. That's the main thing. Just reach out and let me know. That's all I want to do. I want to make the show. Well, I'm not doing some kind of fucking corny effect. I'm really trying to enjoy my beverage. I just spoke into my fucking bottle. Casey's suggestion for the show, better glasses. Okay. You know, you want to be mean. That's cool. I understand. You want to be ruthless? It's fine, too. I mean, maybe I'll start doing a News of the Weird segment. Maybe I'll get an on-air light and transform this bedroom into an unofficial studio. I mean, I already have the glasses for it. I just need to kind of lose any fucking shape and youth. And then I'll be good. And I'll be just fine. I don't know. Ah, shit. Man, this fucking... I just got a major error. I thought my whole shit crashed. But it did not. So I'm glad to hear that. Anyway, I think it's about time that I wrap this rambling mess up. Doing a solo show is something that I kind of dabbled with a little bit for maybe a couple weeks, and then I got right back up into having a co-host again. So I think that right as I started to get the practice as doing a solo show, I kind of got swept back into the idea of a tag team thing. And that kind of got put on the back burner, the idea that maybe I would do a solo show. But then again, you know, like people with these glasses, I can't help but team up. I always seem to need a sidekick. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to continue doing the show solo. And I'm going to work at this. And I'm going to take the DJ New Style show to new heights. If you only knew. Like, look at the fucking bad decisions I've already made. Look at the shirt. Look at the glasses. Look at this beard that I've kept. Do you understand? This whole fucking show is mired in bad decisions. And I love it. I love it! And I'm gonna keep doing it. Whether it's an hour, whether it's two. I'm not gonna quit doing this fucking thing. That's what it is. Oh, Goatweed loves my shirt. Thank you, Goatweed. Because I really... God fucking damn it, Teddy. Shit, you know when you eat like you have a steak at Applebee's because you went to Applebee's and you wanted to shit food, but then you got coaxed in by the grill marks in the picture, and then later on you're sitting at your desk doing whatever you do, and that fucking smell you let out, that's what he is constantly emitting from his asshole. Arby's steak fart. it might be. I can't do that. I can't do the fucking Proclaimers anymore. Okay? It hurts me! In my fucking soul! God, I am really, really fucking floundering tonight. I told Monk before the show. Monk showed up in the chat room because what I've started doing is I've started taking the show and just kind of hitting broadcast before it actually officially starts, before you hear the Rammstein and the intro and the oh snap and everything else. And I told him, hey, you know what? This one's not going to be a good one. Oh, man. I'm in a state right now where, like, there's a lot going on, and I'm not blaming anything on what's going on in my life, but it's kind of hard to look at what you have, it's kind of hard to look at what you have and turn it into some comedy. When you've got the, you know, some things just completely dissolving in your life. And to answer the listener, Ustreamer 71763, no, I have never considered trying aromatherapy. Thank you for that. Maybe I'll give it a whirl. Maybe I'll buy some translucent rocks and just put them in a fucking dish. And do that. Oh no. I'm sorry. Casey just sent a picture in. A picture that she received. Where it's basically the TV guide or the guide channel to let you know what's on TV. And you pick a channel, you arrow over to the time you want to see, and it's like, oh, look, The Simpsons. Nah, let's go down to channel 107. Oh, In Living Color. I remember that show. Fire Marshal Bill, Vera, the female bodybuilder. Just those hilarious Ross Perot and fucking Snow impressions from 1991. Let's read about it. The description. Okay, In Living Color, TV 14. Oh, I'm older than 14. That's good. 10 to 10:30. Okay. Description. Black people show. God, apparently my dad is now working for the cable company describing all the TV shows. Oh, man, that's great. I love it. It really, I mean, honestly, would Tommy Davidson have had a fucking career if that show never made it? Like, if Tommy Davidson was on fucking Saturday Night Live, would he have been as fucking famous for that time period? Like, he never really rocketed to success. What was he, like, the second lead in Booty Call? But, I mean, he was a beloved cast member of that show. You put him on SNL as, like, the black guy. He wouldn't have fucking done shit. So, yeah, it was definitely the black show. Oh, yeah, well, the original cast, I think, was Keenan Ivory Wayans, who just bewildered me that someone could have so many names as a kid. I didn't even know. I just figured that, like, you just had your first and last name, and then, like, your middle name was some secret that you would reveal, like, whenever you had to tell something about yourself. David Alan Greer, fantastic. Kim Wayans, you know? And the idea that they had the Fly Girls. Man, the early 90s were just fucking hideous. You know, at the time, they were probably really, really good. Really, really good. But the early 90s were just fucking terrible. The fucking Fly Girls. Holy shit. If you hear this show, just do yourself a favor and take a look at the Fly Girls today from In Living Color. Fly Girls. We have Google image search. it's possible to see this. You could probably even see a video. You may have to type in Living Color. There is a related search that comes up. Fly Girls in Living Color. Look at these fucking clothes. All of them are wearing feathered hats and fucking jackets with straps on every aspect of the fucking garment. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, and Jennifer Lopez was a fucking fly girl. That's great. Fantastic. I don't know. Listen, I can't talk about this shit anymore. I loved the show at the time, but I have a feeling it's going to be like one, like trying to rewatch Alf, which I did. I saw Hulu had Alf on it. I'm like, oh, look, Alf! I watched it. I'm like, oh, you gotta be fucking kidding me. You gotta be fucking kidding me. I remember, honestly, when I was watching Alf, I was probably 8 years old, and I treated that show with the reverence somebody would treat like a fucking a Salvador Dali painting. Like it was art to me. And I watched it with adult eyes, and I just wanted to go back in time and fucking just choke myself to death while watching Alf. It is the worst fucking thing ever. And I have a feeling that watching any of the In Living Color sketches that I just thought were hilarious, it would yield the same result. It's that Howard the Duck effect. A movie that you think you loved, you just look back on with such fucking, just such a good feeling. And you loved it. And you cherish the memory of watching it. You had a tape of it, and you watched it over and over again, and then you lost touch with that beloved memory. And then it crosses your path again years later, and you realize that you didn't deserve to reach the age 30, because obviously there must have been something wrong with your fucking brain to have even thought that that was a fucking good movie. They actually had duck tits in it. And Alky jerked off to the duck tits. He told us that on a previous episode of the show. He actually admitted that he used the duck tit scene for masturbation purposes. You can't watch that movie now. You can't and say it's good. You can watch it, sure, in the way that I will watch and love City Dragon. But you can't look at it as a goddamn good fucking movie. Now, we've been talking about a couple things. Casey's asking, does anyone even recall the theme song? Are you talking about Alf, the theme song? Isn't that... I think that's what it is. Why don't we just take a look at Alf theme song? And just pull a fucking C-Rock radio from 2004 and just play every shitty TV theme opener that we've got. Yeah! Just fucking reach for the stars. I fucking nailed it. Dude, I fucking nailed this shit. He eats cats, he's got a honeycomb for a nose. He looks like a fucking Muppet. And on Planet Melmac, they use foam as currency. You had to see the cartoon version to know that shit. Alf is here. He's eating your motherfucking cats in your place. Alf is here. Jerry Seinfeld's mom was the neighbor. All right, fuck it. Shit. Yeah. Alf. Good times. Good times. Well, guess what? I think it's about that time that we wrap up the show. The DJ News Style Show. I want to thank everybody out there for tuning in. And I also want to invite you to check out ICU2. That's ICU2.com. Now listen, okay? There are a lot of circles that you need to you feel a need to be a part of. It's easy to get addicted to chat rooms, to pal talk and all that, but why get addicted to something inferior? Give ICU2 a shot. It's free to try. Go to ICU2.com. Download it on your Windows PC. They're making big things happen. Give it a shot. Let me know what you think about it. And I'll see you on ICU2. It's ICU2.com. Best in Shows on Thursday night, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. That's bestinshowradio.com. You haven't listened to them? The fuck is wrong with you? Hate Us Talk, Monday nights, The Awful Hour. Obviously, theawfulhour.com. I can't tell you when they're going to do another one. Okay? They like to just fucking record one and throw it out there and just let it find its audience. So why don't you just do that? Listen to everything on Heroes Talk. And check out the recommended podcast on heroestalk.com/recommended. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And I look forward to your feedback. Suck my dick and eat my shit.